From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, November 17th, 2009. Each week, this podcast explores news and ideas related to all things geospatial. This is Adina Schutzberg in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Joe Francica in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, we try to draw a bit of the now dotted line between the amateur mapmaker and the professional GIS user. What exactly is it that separates the two? We'll offer up our suggestions after a word from our sponsor.
Develop and deploy web applications with ESRI web mapping APIs to integrate online maps and GIS tasks. For more information, visit www.esri.com/mapping APIs.
Now let me rephrase today's question in a slightly different way. If today's technology means that pretty much anybody can make a map, what is it that separates the professionals from the amateurs? It's not something I think we think about very much, or maybe it may not even be something tangible, but I think it's an interesting question to ask, and I want to see if we can maybe get some ideas of where that line is or might be. And the way we're going to discuss this is each of us have done some homework, and we've thought of a couple of characteristics that might distinguish one group from the other, and I'll start off with the idea that professionals involved in geospatial tend to see geography wherever they go. I mean, if you think about that film about the child who sees dead people, we sort of see geography. It's sort of everywhere. You think about it as you're moving through your world. You sort of wear this set of geospatial or geographic glasses. They're the kinds of people who, when they're reading an article in the newspaper, say, are always looking for the map. And if there isn't a map, they sort of get all antsy because they think there should be one. So I think it's very much a perspective that it's, in a sense, their preferred way of looking at the world. And they bring it to making these maps and using them as tools in their work.
Yeah, I like that, Adina. That's good. And we should probably remind readers we don't come with our own preconceived ideas, nor do we rehearse some of these ideas. So sometimes we're hearing these for the first time, and I like that. I like that idea. I think we do that as geospatial professionals, especially those of us who may have come from a background of either as a geography major in college or geology or some discipline. I think that's where I wanted to start was if you have a specific discipline that uses mapping technology and all of the disciplines that I mentioned, those in natural resources, those in the physical sciences, sometimes have used maps in their work, and we come to appreciate how they can be used. But one of the things that struck me in the question that you posed was the differentiation today, because in some respects the maps are made today. And I hate to keep using the example of some of the online mapping providers, but they're there already. You know, a lot of the data is there. Back in the day, the data was not always there. We as professionals in the field had to create the data. Not only did we have to know how to use the technology, not only did we have to be a subject matter expert, but we often were the same people that created the data. And so now we've progressed to the point where we have to do more with what's there. So whereas the casual users of maps, the consumers of maps, just kind of view the maps or use the stuff that's already there, the professionals have been the ones that have typically created the data. And now we have to move beyond that. Now we have to move to the point where the professionals have to do more with what they've been handed, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Now, when you say more, what do you mean?
If you're coming into the geospatial profession, as I just said, you're not the one tasked with digitizing anymore. I think we used to be to some degree. We're not creating the data. The data is already there. But the thing that came to my mind was, how are we going to model geospatial phenomenon? As professional geospatial people, I think we have to be better prepared to use what we've been given and now think, and again, I'm going to come back to this word spatial thinking, maybe a better way to say it is spatial understanding, the impact of spatial and aspatial information on geographic phenomenon. And I think we have to be a better users of the tools, be that subject matter expert to better foster our profession.
I'm going to take a stab at another way of saying what I think you maybe are suggesting, which is that the amateur map maker is, in a sense, using the data that's out there, maybe putting a few layers together, maybe doing some symbolization, and the professionals are really taking that next step of doing the modeling and doing the analysis. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's very fair, and I think even to break it down even finer, I think we have to move beyond simple desktop mapping as professionals and then now start to model some of the layers of information. And we used to do this a long time ago, but it was not an easy step. And I think back to what we have now in terms of the tools. The tools do things very nicely for us that weren't done very well for us in the mid-80s till the early 90s. So, yes, I think you're absolutely correct, is that let's get beyond the desktop mapping part and let's get to something more meaty.
I think that actually blends nicely into my second distinguishing characteristic of professionals, and that's that they have this nagging question of why, very much like 2 or 3 year olds that are always asking those very important questions like why the sky is blue and so forth. And geospatial professionals, again, in their work and in their lives, are always trying to figure out why things are the way they are. And once they come up with a theory, they are the first to try to share it with the world, whether that's on a blog, using a map, or just in general conversation. Those things always sort of percolate to the top. I know my friends are always finding it amusing, the details of a landscape that I'm picking out and trying to understand. But that's just something that's part of, again, this perspective that I guess I'm carrying with me. And one other point, I was trained to be a geographer. I don't think I was one growing up. In fact, it was a discipline I'd particularly not heard about or studied up until college. But then I began to sort of carry that around with me. And I think there are people who are sort of born with that perspective. I'm just not one of them.
If you had a course in geography or you were a geography major, you've come to some appreciation. For those who are, again, the casual users, the consumers who maybe never had a course in demographics but are maybe tasked with using the information, I'm not sure you have that same appreciation, so that there is a pretty strong line, I think, between the professional and the casual user right now, because I think, again, going back to the issue of the subject matter expert makes a difference, and I just think that these are the people that got to carry the profession forward starting now. I just think that let's get beyond. Let's start doing something meaningful and carrying that to the consumers of geography. One of the things I wanted to talk about was temporal GIS and temporal the use of temporal data. I think because the data is already there, which I mentioned before, and I think we're getting to the point where more data will be coming to us quicker. I hesitate to use the word real time, but indeed the way we capture information, whether we've driven the streets like a Google Street View, or we're capturing real-time satellite imagery, or at least getting the imagery downloaded to us quicker, the ability to understand temporal changes, doing change detection, faster turnaround to an understanding of environmental changes or the human impact. I think this is some of the elements of what the geospatial professional needs to consider in his analysis. And I don't think we've given enough thought to change detection, temporal analysis. And I think that this is an area of study that, you know, I think has not progressed maybe as fast, but maybe now will progress a little bit more further.
That's a really interesting point, because we think of geospatial as being so tied with how things are arranged on the landscape, real or virtual. But I think you're right that geospatial professionals, part of learning about that is very much tied into time. Historical geography or any kind of planning always ties into time, even if it's not sort of formally. And I think it may be true that folks with a more casual connection to mapping, they're looking for a map for today to solve this problem, and the spatial context may not be as big a part of their evaluation.
I think we've got the tools now to help people who are impacted by changes, whether it's changes to the environment, changes to urban planning, to give them a feeling for what those changes will be and what the impact will be. And this is how geospatial professionals can really impact their community and really further their profession.
I think it's really funny, too, that we're bringing that up. It takes me right back to, and I'm going to paraphrase Kant, I believe I have that right, who said that geography is the science that studies what's next to each other, and history is the science that explores how things come one after one another. And those two things were together, so he always linked geography and history, and clearly they're still linked, even in today's modern society. The last distinction that I want to make has to do with tools. One of the things that I think needs to be true of professionals, and I hope it is in most cases, is that they don't carry a hammer and try to use that to attack every problem that they solve, but rather carry a very big and broad toolbox that includes, as you suggested, tools not just from one specific piece of geography or geospatial technology, but ones from image analysis and ones from database design and library science for things like metadata. We've really got to have that broad, broad set of tools. And that's something I think can distinguish the amateur from the professional.
Yeah, but this brings up another interesting point, which is, and we have discussed this before, which is how do we train that next generation? Do we train them as a subject matter expert, or do we train them in the tools? There are so many more tools today, very sophisticated in nature. And so I think it just raises that whole issue again, where do you want to be the forester or do you want to be the GIS person pushing the buttons? And I'm not sure we have an answer to that, but that is a big issue that needs to be discerned.
Well, I actually do have an answer to that, just because you challenged me to
say
that I don't. I am more and more convinced all the time that the job of an educator is to create an educated individual. And part of that educated individual is their ability to find and learn the next tool, whatever it happens to be. I heard a great discussion about the new Google language called Go. And one of the points that was made, and this was on, I believe this was on Buzz Out Loud, was that, hey, if you're a programmer and you learned a language and you think you're done, you're not a very good programmer. Because your job is to use whatever the right tool is, and in programming language, those languages are changing because the underlying technology that they're programming against is changing. So you better be ready to go out and learn the next thing. And I think we need to take that same outlook in geospatial.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but I think that there are jobs out there for geospatial professionals who may not have focused on a particular discipline, but know the tools very well. In other words, their boss would come to them and say, I need a map of this. And he's the guy that knows how to create the map of that. But he may not be an urban planner, may not be a forester, may not be a geologist. I'll take a little bit of the other side of the coin there and say that there are some requirements out there for people who just can get the job done faster.
That's all the time we have today. ESRI's mobile GIS solutions help businesses streamline workflows and manage assets, infrastructure, and field operations. On November 19th, you're invited to participate in the free live training seminar called Introduction to ESRI Mobile GIS Solutions to Determine the Best Solution for You. Visit esri.com/LTS for local times and more information. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com, or you can post a comment on Directions Magazine or All Points Blog. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.